Our guest is a special guest here, someone who's been on the show before. Lorenzo DiStefano did a wonderful documentary on the jazz guitarist Talmadge Farlow, interesting guy who painted signs when he wasn't playing guitar for a living. He's back here with us. That is Lorenzo DiStefano. Welcome back to KCRW.
Great to be here. Thanks, Tom.
Who are Los Zafiros, and why did you want to make a documentary about them?
The more obscure, the better. I bought a CD, Bossa Cubana, the one you refer to, that we just played, and began to read the story and found out the two men were still alive, two survivors of the group, and that there was a lot of footage. Those elements kind of guided me to take about a year to get in their good graces and then get their permission to do the film.
You went to Florida, obviously. You went to Cuba several times in order to do this film.
Mm-hmm.
The two surviving members are someone that KCRW listeners know about. Manuel Galban was the music director of the group. Of course, he's a great guitarist, pianist, has been part of the Buena Vista Social Club. He was on stage with Ibrahim Ferrer about a month and a half ago. And, of course, he has a new record out with Ry Cooter, who's always admired Manuel Galban, his work. Who is the other guy?
Miguel Cancio was one of the founders of the group with his friend Kiki Morua, and he lives in Miami. He's written his memoirs. He's catching up with lost time with his family and participated in a very deep way in this project.
How is the group different than a typical, let's say, a Son group coming to Havana from Oriente province? And of course, Son is the backbone of Cuban music. It's the sort of the meat of the music. How were they different from that, and why were they different?
It seems they had a sophisticated edge that maybe traditional Son groups did not have. Very urban group, inspired by the fashion of the 60s, the sharkskin suits, more than the Beatles of Cuba, which sometimes people refer them to. I call them the Rat Pack of Cuba. So they had a sophisticated edge that gave them a modern urban feel.
We have something from the soundtrack queued up. Could you give us a preview of what we're going to hear next, please?
Sure. We are trying to incorporate into the soundtrack, which is unreleased at this point, but we're hopeful. Some vocal introductions explaining a little bit of the story of Los Zafiros. That will take us into one of their big hit songs, La Caminadora, The Woman Walking, and into a new recording of Oye Nicola, a tune written by Manuel Galban.
Subject is Los Zafiros, the Cuban group, the Sapphires. Our guest is Lorenzo DiStefano, a documentary filmmaker who has just chronicled their life.
Para ustedes ya, música y estrella. Esta noche se inicia nuestro programa con la actuación de Los Zafiros.
Los Zafiros have a very important place in the history of Cuban music.
Zafiros created something very unique, which are of that time and place they were in. And they were very, very much a pop group.
They are so great that now the most requested group is the Zafiros here in Miami. You can hear all the audience, how they love the Zafiros still from 1962 that they start now.
Ahí nada más. Y señoras y señores, después de este conteo, ganadores del día de hoy, Los Zafiros!
Con su tipo espiritual, ella va luciendo el traje, con la bata remangada, sonando su chancretica, con sombrero levante a la linda mulatica, no sombrero levante a la linda mulatica.
Thank you.
Music from Los Zafiros, This is from the soundtrack, which hasn't been issued yet, from the documentary film Los Zafiros, Music from the Edge of Time. Our guest in this segment of Cafe LA is Lorenzo De Stefano, who is the guy who made the movie. You call it Los Zafiros, Music from the Edge of Time. Why did you call it Music from the Edge of Time?
It kind of occurred to me a couple of years ago that this period in which they thrived, this Cold War animosity during the missile crisis and everything between 62, which is when the group was founded, and the early 70s when things in Cuba changed drastically, I believe, that this period was special, the edge of time. Ironically, we find ourselves now at another edge of time with Cuba and differences in opinion. But the irony of the fact that this music was popular, the music of Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, the Platters, the American R&B, was soaked up down there, just like we soaked up Cuban music, you know, with Dizzy and all that. So the cross-pollination of cultures, trying to get past politics to the common ground.
Why were they called the Sapphires? This sounds like a typical name for a doo-wop group of the 50s.
I think they're lucky no one took it before. I think there was another Sapphires, a smaller group in Cuba. But they were friends, actually. I heard that story, and they cooperated. They played different provinces, you know. I think the story Miguel Concio tells is he was walking down the street in Havana one night, and a drunken man said, "Hey, muchachon, come over here. You want to buy this ring?" And it's the ring he wears to this day, a giant sapphire, 25 pesos. And he grabbed it quickly before the guy changed his mind and took off with it. They were looking at groups like the Diamonds, the Rubies. They were already taken. They thought of the Fakiris, but they thought that four mulattoes with turbans would not go over too well in Havana. So he looked at his ring and says, "Why not the sapphires?" This is the story he tells.
Mm-hmm. Where did they come from? Where was their home base? And how big did they get?
The guys all come from the same neighborhood in Havana, Cayo Hueso, which is known as a tough musical neighborhood. I don't know what that means, since all neighborhoods in Cuba are musical, if not tough. But they all came from the same area. You go there now, you still hear music coming out of doorways. It's full of music. They just got together. One was a judo instructor. The other was a clown for children's parties. Auto body, la chapista, mechanic. And they came together, and they had unique talents that flourished once Galban came aboard and gave them a musical direction.
Did they? How popular were they in Cuba in the early 60s? Were they like the number one group?
Easily. Phenomenal. Yeah. People loved. They say as musicians, we didn't produce material goods. We produced spiritual benefits. And at that period, they felt that people needed something alive. It was a very ecstatic period. We must remember whatever happened in Cuba afterwards. The first 10 years must have been pretty blissful. They're in control, you know. And they got very big. They went to Europe in the mid-60s with the Music Hall of Cuba, which was a touring cultural show with hundreds of acts. And they triumphed at the Olympia Theater in Warsaw, Poland, Moscow, places they could not come. They couldn't come to the States, of course, at that time.
Mm-hmm. They were probably the only pop group. You can think of the great descargas, the jam sessions by the conjuntos and the different groups. I mean, some of them were groups that Ibrahim Ferrer was involved with, I think Orchestra Sublime, and Ruben Gonzalez, the former pianist with Buena Vista, was with Orchestra America. But if you had to name a Cuban pop group from the 60s, I guess this is the one, isn't it?
As Nick Gold says in the film from World Circuit Records, he mentions that this is the only pop group he can kind of figure existed that you could call that. Now, there were imitators, and to this day there are tribute groups, which are lovely, and they do a great job playing old Los Zafiros songs. We encountered them and put them in the film.
There were moving moments in the film. Exile is always something that's a very, very a bittersweet experience. Tell us about there are a couple of times in the film. One is when the Miami-based surviving, one of the two surviving members of Los Zafiros, revisits Cuba for the first time. The other is a time when a violinist, who I guess played with them, when he is visited. Tell us about those two scenes in the film, please, Lorenzo Di Stefano.
Miguel Cancio had actually been back to Cuba since emigrating in the early 90s. A feature film was made about the group in the late 90s that he participated in. But I think when you lose your country to others, no matter your political pursuit, it hurts, whether you go back every 10 years or 10 months, you know. So the pain that that he showed is very real. He's looking out over Havana from the rooftop of the Presidente Hotel and singing to himself Hermosa Havana, Beautiful Havana, one of their old songs, and basically making himself cry, which wasn't too hard, you know. The other moment you mentioned is El Chino's brother. El Chino, one of the stars of the group, had died of alcoholism and various other maladies in the 1995. That scene is with his brother, Pupi, who is playing Mi Oración on the violin and just can't go on, visited by Miguel Cancio. They hadn't seen each other in 21 years.
Congratulations, by the way. You just won the Image Award, part of the Latino Film Festival Awards?
No, it's the Imagen Foundation, Excellence in Latino Media. It's on last Thursday, we did, surprise to us, win the Best Documentary Feature Film Award.
Lorenzo Di Stefano is with us. Los Zafiros, the Cuban doo-wop group from the early 1960s, is the subject. They really only have a couple of records out, one that Nick Gold put out on World Circuit, and another one that Jimmy Maslin put in on the Hinama record label, and they're both wonderful. We're going to hear something, however, from something that hasn't been released, and this is the soundtrack. What are we going to hear next?
We were going to hear Cuando Yo La Conocí, When I Met You, When I Saw You, by Oscar Aguirre de Fontana, the first guitarist for Los Zafiros and a fine composer who wrote many hits for them. That will transition into a version of the same song done by the two survivors in a bar in Havana.
You're listening to Cafe LA here at 89.9 KCRW.
Por nuestros hermanos.
Sí.
Ignacio, Quique y el Chino.
El Chino.
Bueno, vamos a echar un poquito también, ¿no?
Échalo ahí, compadre.
Échale, carajo. ¡Ah!
¿Sí?
pero una noche de luna, cuando yo la conocí, era trigueña bonita, de labios como rubí. Era una linda chiquilla que no entendía de amor, pero sí sé que tenía entero su corazón.
La patán, rapapán. A ver, aplaudan.
Ahí, ahí, ¿qué pasa? Recordando
a los
artistas cubanos.
Ay, yo soy el árbol conmovido y triste. Tú eres la niña que mi tronco hirió. Yo guardo siempre tu querido nombre y tú, ¿qué has hecho de mi pobre flor?
¡Cacho! Que tengan un fin de año riquísimo. Igualmente, mi amigo, te quiero. Mi pana, te quiero. Chao, familia. Ay,
vamos hacia el Parque Trin.
Hacia el Parque Trin. ¿Eh? Otra vez en el Parque Trin.
Some music from the as-yet-unreleased soundtrack to Los Zafiros, Music from the Edge of Time. The director of the film, documentary, Lorenzo DiStefano, is with us here at Cafe LA. Why did the group fall apart if they were so popular? What happened?
Well, as near as we can tell, and we tried to make the film not be a hatchet job, something like a television expose, you know, on rock and roll tragedies. It certainly was a rock and roll tragedy in a lot of ways. The excess of rock and roll was there without the money. Drinking, the carousing, the infidelity, you name it. You know, the tearing up hotel rooms, the works. And Galban being the older and Canzio being the older, I think there was a little fatigue factor there, of keeping up with the young guys who were just tearing it up, you know. They parted company in the early 70s. I think when Scalban left, things changed drastically for them. Lesser clubs, lesser dates, memory, you know. And then it pretty much dissolved after that. Kiki and Ignacio, with the high-voiced part, died in their late 30s, in the early 80s. And Ignacio Chino kind of hung on longer than he should have and expired in the mid-90s. So, yeah, it just sort of came apart like many groups, you know.
If you were to walk down the street and talk to the young people in Cuba and mention Los Zafiros, would they know the songs?
They would. Many would. We filmed in the streets interviewing people just extemporaneously with a CD on our shoulders to bring this music right back. And several sequences in the park where we shot Los Nuevos Zafiros, singing with the guys, the original members. Old people, kids 8 years old, know the songs, the lyrics. It was many people's favorite part in the film, and I think mine too in a lot of ways.
The original records never came to America, correct?
Only, I think, through family connections in the early days. The 60s, I think, things were pretty much locked down between the two countries, you know. Again, except for something as weird and wonderful as this, you know.
We'll conclude our time with another piece from the available soundtrack, music from Bossa Cubana, Los Zafiros. This is a fine record that was released by Nick Gold of World Circuit. Lorenzo DiStefano, thank you for making this film. I look forward to seeing it on the big screen.
Okay. Try and get it there. Thank you, Tom.